Likutei Sicha is Chelek Aleph, Parshas Shmois, Sicha Aleph. The pasuk that stands at the foundation of our Sicha this week, in which the Rebbe crystallizes the true nature of our post-Sinaic relationship with Hashem, and how it defines the future redemption, is in Perek Gimel Pasuk Yudalad in this week's Parsha. Moshe stands before a burning bush, and God talks to him, and instructs him to go to Pharaoh and take the nation out of Egypt. Moshe asks, who is he to do so? And Hashem answers, I will be with you, and gives him a sign. And then Moshe asks, let's say I come to the children of Israel and I say to them, the God of your fathers sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? And Hashem answers in Pasuk Yudalid, Eke Asher Eke, tell them Eke sent me. While the words Eke Asher Eke translate to mean, I will be what I will be, one of the explanations on these words in the Medrash and Shmais Rabbah is as follows. Amar Rabbi Yechanan said, Eke, I will be, La'asher Eke, to those to whom I will be, B'yechidim, individually. But overall, regarding the masses and the multitude, our relationship is going to be despite them, and even against their will and desire. Even if they gnash their teeth and break their teeth over it, I will be king over them. And the Pasuk in Yecheskel and Perek Chof is brought to support this. The Pasuk says as follows, Chai ani nu'um Hashem Elokim, as I live, says Hashem, im loy biyad chazako v'zroi netuyo v'chem ha'shvocha emloich aleichem, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and with fury pouring forth, I will rule as king over you. On this medrash, there's a commentary called the Matnas Kehuna, who says that La'asher Eke means that the Eke, that I will be known as Eke, only to one La'asher Eke, that chooses and desires that I be so to them. There is some element of choice here. I will be Eke to those who choose and desire so. And if someone doesn't want this, then they have the option, they have a choice to throw off the yoke of heaven. This idea of La'asher Eke is an individual thing. But as a multitude, as a nation, even if we consider turning away from Hashem, we won't be able to. Hashem will rule over us. It will never happen, in other words, that as a nation we will be able to, or we will, throw off this yoke of heaven. This played out in Yetzias Mitzrayim. There were Rishaim among Bnei Yisrael, and there were Rishaim who Dafka didn't want to leave, who refused to go out of Mitzrayim. And they didn't go out. But the multitude, the nation in general, even the Rishoim, and there were many Rishoim amongst the Jewish nation in Mitzrayim. There were many idol worshippers among the nation. The nation, however, including the Rishoim, were definitely redeemed. So what we understand from this is that though that verse that says, I will rule them with a strong hand and with my fury pouring out, I will rule over them, is in Yecheskel, and would seemingly be referring to the Geulois, the redemptions, from the time of Yecheskel onwards. But it must also, we would assume, allude to Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt, which was also, as we well know, Biyad Chazaka, with a strong arm. But Hashem, so to speak, strong-armed the multitude, the general population of the nation of Israel, of Bnei Yisrael, but not the individuals. As the Medrash tells us, the Rishaim that didn't want to leave Mitzrayim died during the 3 days of the Makkah, of the plague of darkness. Now, considering what we just explained, that though the Pasuk in Yecheskel is phrased in the future, Emloich Aleichem, I will rule over you, future redemption, including the final redemption, it likely alludes to the past redemption from Egypt, which was also a Biyod Chazaka redemption, forcing, so to speak, out the general populace, even Rishayim, but leaving behind those who died during the plague of darkness, who did not want to leave altogether. It would seem possible to suggest that since in the Pasuk, where we read, Imloi, Biyod Chazaka, and if not, if they aren't choosing God's way, I will strong arm them, and then I will reign over them, the intention is to future redemptions. Yet the Medrash learns from this a detail about the past redemption from Egypt. Likely then we can learn in the reverse as well. From the redemption from Egypt, we can learn about future redemptions, that the Yad Chazaka, so to speak, strong-arming Bnei Yisrael out of Egypt, tells us that in the future redemption it will play out the same way. That the promise we have in Torah that every Jew will do tshuva and return to God, and as the Rambam writes in Hilchis Tshuva, Shesayf Yisrael lases tshuva b'sayf kolusan umiyad heinigolin, in the days, in the end of exile, the nation will repent and will immediately be redeemed, is only about the general populace, but would not be true of individuals. But in truth, we cannot explain things this way, because Rashi's explanation on the Pasuk, that Hashem will return everyone and all will do tshuva, literally means each and everyone. In Rashi's words, Oiches biyodov mamash ish ish. It will be like Hashem himself will seize hold of each individual's hand, dragging him from his place. And Rashi quotes Yeshaya HaNavi, who prophesied, Ve'atem tluktu le'echad echad b'nei Yisrael, and you will be gathered one by one, b'nei Yisrael. So it becomes obvious that the promise for redemption and the manner in which it happens, Vishov Hashem, Hashem will return, is directly influenced by the reason for redemption, and that is that B'nai Yisrael return to God, that at the end of Golus, all, each and every Jew will return. Indeed, in Chassidus, we learn as well, the Alter Rebbe writes at the end of Perek Lamed Tes in Tanya, that each and every Jew will do tshuva, and not one will be left behind. And according to all these sources, all Rishoyim are included. Even the ones who don't want to leave exile will be awakened to tshuva and redeemed from the exile. How do we know that in the future redemption there will be individuals who are at the point of not wanting to leave? This knowledge is based on the Pasuk, again in Yeshaya, that says, V'hoyo b'yoyim hahu, and on that great day, Yitaka b'shefer gadol, the great ram's horn, will be sounded as a call to tshuva. Uva'u ha'ovdim be'eretz Ashur, v'hanidochim be'eretz Mitzrayim, and all who strayed, who became settled in the land of their exile in Assyria, and the expelled, who are immersed in their exile in the land of Egypt, v'hishtachavu l'Hashem b'har ha'kodesh b'Yerushalayim, will come and worship Hashem on the holy mount in Jerusalem. So the redemption from Egypt is not like the final redemption. It's interesting that in the question and answer of the Rosha in the Haggadah on Pesach, we actually address this very point. The Rosha distances himself from everything, asking, what is this to you? Lochem v'loy loy, to you and not to him. And we answer by saying, Ilu hayasham lehayanigol, if you were there, you wouldn't have been redeemed. And it puzzles us. Are we trying to distance him further? But this answer is only a commentary on the future redemption. And it is in fact a statement that tells the Rosha, true, Mitzrayim you would not have been redeemed from, but we're living in different times. We are post-Matan Torah, and you will absolutely be redeemed in the future redemption. Remember that the Rasha sits right next to the Chacham. He just uses his intelligence for bad. But when we tell him this, he can use his intelligence for good and realize what happened that was so wondrous at Sinai that he will be redeemed in the future. At Sinai, Hashem said, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem, your God, in the singular, to the individual. Every person after Sinai can experience God as his chayis and his strength, thus assuring the Rasha that he will, because of this strength, be redeemed. Now, what defines the difference between the redemption from Egypt and the final redemption? The reason Hashem redeemed us from Egypt was, as it says in our Parsha, B'ni b'chayri Yisrael. Israel is my firstborn son. V'oimar eilecha, and I'm saying to you, Parai, Shlach es b'ni, send out my son. So the relationship between Hashem and the children of Israel was clearly one of a father and son, as we are called bonim lamakim, sons to Hashem. As Hashem's children, even the lowliest among us is still a child, because a child's behavior doesn't change the essential and natural relationship between parent and child. Like Chazal say, whether they are like this or like that, benkach or benkach, they are my children, bonayhem, so I can't swap them out for another nation. So how were they not all redeemed? Some really bad members of the clan left Egypt carrying idols, and yet they merited redemption. Why did those who were Rishoyim and didn't want to leave die in Egypt and not merit redemption? To explain this, the Rebbe explores a Mishnah in the Tractate of Yuma, a tractate which discusses mainly the laws of Yom Kippur. Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi holds the opinion that Al kol averes shebetoira beinasei tshuva bein lo yasei tshuva Yom Kippur mechaper. On all the averes in the Torah, bein osa tshuva, whether one did tshuva, bein lo yasei tshuva, if one didn't do tshuva, Yom Kippur atones. But, and there's a but, to which Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi agrees, that if a person transgresses Yom Kippur itself, like he doesn't fast on that day, then Yom Kippur doesn't atone for that transgression of transgressing Yom Kippur. How can that be? If Yom Kippur atones for all averus in Torah, even the worst averus, why can't it atone for the transgression of that day? The Rebbe explains this seeming paradox with a vort from the Rogatchover, Rabbi Yosef Rosen, who was a Gon Otzum, one of the greatest Torah scholars and a genius in Torah of the late 19th, early 20th century, who teaches the following. There is a principle in Halacha that says, Ein kateger na'ase saneger. The accuser cannot become the defender. Since the sin of eating on Yom Kippur is brought about by Yom Kippur and the laws of Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur cannot bring atonement for that sin. The accuser, the day of Yom Kippur, and its specific laws cannot forgive the transgression of the day. Chassidus explains the following. Yom Kippur reveals the essential connection of the soul and the divine, wherein no sin exists. But a sin on Yom Kippur conceals the revelation, covering it up with sin. And when this revelation of oneness, where no sin can exist, is covered up by a sin, the day of Yom Kippur can no longer atone in this otherwise totally inclusive way. Let's explore how the situation in Mitzrayim was the same. The divine revelation to redeem us from Egypt was brought about because of the connection between Hashem and Israel. Hashem as our father, we as his children, and indeed, nothing can alter or affect this connection, which is why even the Rishoyim were redeemed. But for those who refused to leave and wanted to remain servants under Parai, were denying the connection with God and concealing the connection. And in denying and concealing this connection, obliterated for themselves the revelation of connection and the opportunity for redemption as children. Now we're still left with a question. If an Israelite in Egypt could reject the father-son relationship, and by obscuring it, he obscures the possibility for redemption, why can't someone reject this unifying connection that God manifested with Anoichi at Matan Torah? And if he does so, and Ein Kategor Naase Sanegor, then how will he be redeemed at the future redemption? This is explained by the Rebbe in two ways that are ultimately connected. One is that at Matan Torah, Hashem chose us. This idea of Uvanu Vacharta is actually a practical halacha that the Alter Rebbe mentions in Shulchan Aruch. When a person says the Shema and says Uvanu Vacharta, you chose us from all the nations, he should be thinking about Matan Torah. The other is that at Sinai, we became subservient to God. From Egypt, we were taken out of a house of servitude to servants. But Hashem took us out, and now we serve a melech, a king. This, in fact, is why when a Jew wants to remain in servitude to another Jew, once his time, his served time, perhaps for theft, perhaps for monetary reasons, is over, his ear, which at Sinai heard, Ki li b'nei Yisrael la'avodim, that b'nei Yisrael are servants to me, not the servants of servants, his ear is pierced. Let's explore the first idea further, this idea of choice. When a person makes a choice, his willpower in facilitating this choice is a lot stronger than when he has a natural tendency towards something. Natural tendencies come with certain natural limitations until you choose that particular path or discipline. Perhaps someone is musical by nature, but his abilities have natural limitations. But when he actively chooses an instrument, he surpasses the limitations of his natural abilities, and he owns this. In fact, making a choice about something that one doesn't naturally gravitate towards is even more profound, because to achieve this, he has to dig really deep to his core and his essence. And the same can be said of God. God's love of a Jew, because he is our father, is organic. But that choice that Hashem made at Sinai was beyond circumstance, beyond form, beyond description. And this choice at Matan Torah affects us in return. Our reciprocal choice of God is now about essence, and that choice at Matan Torah is like the experience of an Eved, as Chassidus explains it. In the series of Ma'amorim referred to as Samach Vav, for the year in which they were said and taught, there's a clearly defined difference between ben, a son, and eved, a servant, in the context of one's divine service. One who serves God as a son has this natural inclination, much like a son has a natural inclination to love his parent deeply and simply. And since this is a natural inclination, it isn't really an aveda. It takes no effort. It's organic. On the other hand, one who serves God like a servant, which is certainly not organic and is contrary to one's nature, is born of one's effort and desire to connect and to give oneself over to God completely and absolutely, to the extent that all he is his master. A good example of this and a helpful parable is our children, who are not Kabbalas Olnikim by nature. They question and they challenge and they exert much effort in their personal Avodas Hashem. Versus the child who seems like an easier child and is a total Kabbalas Olnik And he is that same child, or she is that same child, who listens to you in a flash. For one, there is deep effort. That is avoda. That is service. For the other, it is the child, the ben, who naturally gravitates towards doing for a parent. One relationship is a choice, and the choice becomes about what one has chosen. The other is organic. One transcends the natural, the other remains within its limitations. Accordingly, we can now understand the difference between the redemption from Egypt and those who were not redeemed because they did not want to be redeemed. They rejected the revealed connection to Avinu Shebashamayim, our Father in Heaven, and their status of the Jew as Bnei Bechori Yisrael, Israel, my firstborn, which brought the redemption. They rejected the cause of getting out, and since Ein Kateger Nase Saneger, they couldn't get out. And the future redemption when all will be redeemed, even those who don't want to be, who seem to negate the connection of Anoichi, the Sinai experience, which is the source of the future redemption. The connection of a Jew to God as a son, while yet in Egypt, is, as we said, natural, organic. But this still makes space for a person to use his free choice to behave even against this nature and reject Hashem and lose the ability to be redeemed. So if the connection to Hashem is a natural connection and the person chooses to reject that connection, he loses that connection. But at the time of Matan Torah, once Hashem moved the relationship into choice, out of the realm of a natural relationship, which then impacted upon us to make that same choice, choosing a relationship with Hashem, going to the very core and essence of self in making that choice, he can't go deeper than that core and essence to reach a different choice to reject Hashem. It would be rejecting his essence. Potentially, someone might say externally that they don't want to leave Golus, but it's external and it's not one's innermost essential choice, which means that ultimately a Jew, every Jew's choice, the choice made from the essence of his being in reciprocation to the choice Hashem made of us, the choice of Hashem as his portion and share, where he truly desires to reside, will become revealed. The Seif Yisrael Lases Tshuva B'Seif Galusan U'miyad He'Nigolim. And at the end of exile, every Jew will do Tshuva and immediately be redeemed.